There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today. Hey, everybody, listen up. I got mega huge news. Meat Eater Live is heading back out on the road. That's right. Join me and the crew. Clay Newcomb, Cal, Yanni, Spencer's going to be there. Phil the Engineer is going to be there. Meat Eater Live, headed back out. Now, when you get every ticket, okay, every ticket you buy, you get a signed copy of our new Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook. This tour is celebrating the release of the book. Buy a ticket, get a signed copy, Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook, wild game recipes for the grill, smoker, camp stove, and campfire, which I'll point out is a $38 value. Here's where we're going to go. April 23rd, the Mesa Arts Center in Mesa, Arizona. April 24th, the Balboa Theater in San Diego. April 25th, the Grove in Anaheim, California. April 27th, the Crest Theater in Sacramento. April 29th, the Union in Salt Lake City. April 30th, the Egyptian in Boise. May 1st, the Wilma Theater in Missoula. May 2, the Bing Crosby Theater in Spokane, Washington. May 4, Revolution Hall in Portland, Oregon. And May 5, the last day of the tour, Pantages Theater in Tacoma, Washington. For tickets and more information, visit the events page at themeateater.com. Hope to see you at the show.
I'm KC.
And I'm Tyler.
And you're listening to
The Element Podcast.
What is happening, all you folks out there in them woods?
Folks of the woods.
I hope you've been getting out in the woods because it's a good time to be in the woods because the turkeys are gobbling, the pigs exist somewhere. And you can work on your archery setups this time of year. And that's all the stuff we're pretty much going to talk about today. Maybe more. You might need to tune in. Don't just be like, oh, I don't listen to that stuff. But this podcast is brought to you by First Light Gear. The Trace System just came out. Go check out that stuff. I've been hunting hogs in that quite a bit. And actually did a little turkey hunting in it the other day. So on the podcast today, we have got Tyler Jones.
Hey.
Greg Latham.
What's up?
And myself, Michael and Eric. Are the biggest bums I know.
Yeah.
Metaphorically. Michael has a tiny bum. But he's a tiny guy.
But you said he has a tiny bum.
I did.
Okay.
Yeah. But he's also 20 pounds heavier than when he started hanging out with us, which is crazy.
Yeah. Still looks skinny.
That's what happens when you're really young. You like
tell him
you
at 15.
Actually grow.
Yeah.
Whereas like right now, if anything changes with me, it's usually bad. You know, like, yeah. Michael can add a few pounds still and become a man. Right. So, like, but if I add a few pounds, I'm going to become a walrus, and that's not good.
You just change from humanity to
that's it, man.
Animal kingdom. Dadgummit.
Oh, man. So, we need to do a lot of walking, and usually when I get to hunt with Greg, there's a lot of walking involved, but the last time there wasn't. So I'm going to give a little preface to this. Actually, Greg
just,
yeah,
you know, behind the horse, man, with the cart, just pushing the horse to go harder, right?
Greg, you tell us what's been going on, and then we'll kind of get to, what would that be, like Wednesday?
Yeah.
And I'll kind of take off with my little part, and we'll meet back up again.
Sounds good. Me and Michael were hunting some public land and got done with that. Killed a bird, killed a hog. Pretty cool video.
Yeah. No, that's a good video, man.
Yeah, that's on YouTube right now, actually. It's pretty sweet. Public land, Texas turkey.
Yeah.
Yeah, so once we got through with that, I mean, me and Michael, we walked like 10 miles 2 days in a row. So we're pretty tired, but we headed to my family's property, and there's been some turkey activity around my family's property.
Oh, a little
this year.
TA, huh?
Yeah, a little TA going, but yeah, we started seeing turkeys like I might have started seeing them like 10 years ago on my family's property, and then here the last 3 years we've been seeing hens in the spring.
Yeah.
And I saw a gobbler last year before the season opened, but I did not see him at all during the season.
Did you have intent on hunting a turkey last year down there?
I did. I went opening morning and like called a little bit and listened. I didn't hear anything.
Interesting.
So I didn't see him the entire season last year. But this year we've had one gobbler who's hanging around all the time. And
oh my goodness, that's how you know, dude. That's how you know.
Serious,
what is happening?
I don't know.
How do I get rid of her?
Close the screen.
Here's what I. Oh my goodness, y'all! People are listening.
They're always
all the
listening.
Time.
I know, dude.
Always listening.
I can't get rid of it.
I'm sorry.
Thank you for being
Maybe
sorry.
She's done now.
I hope I'll see her still hanging out there.
I don't know.
It's creepy.
Anyway. Good. All right. Anyway, we had there's a gobbler hanging around quite a bit this year, probably a month before the season. And my parents were seeing him like every day, so we were like, might get to go turkey hunting this year. And we've seen one big gobbler, one like I don't know, 2 year old with like a 8-inch beard, and then one Jake. So I knew there were some turkeys to be shot this year, so decided to go hunting. And so me and Mike show up the day before opening day.
Can I ask you a question real quick? Why? So is the turkey population building on your property, in your opinion?
I'd say it's
and
building.
And why?
Well, about 10 years ago.
He burned a lot.
It's probably why. Definitely why.
No, there's no burning going on.
Wow. You grew the turkey population without burning?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I think what helped it was we got rid of cows like 10 years ago. And so there's been a lot more
underbrush and stuff.
Underbrush, cover, mixed with some little mowed areas where they like to strut around and eat bugs and all that.
Edge habitat, I guess, is kind of.
Yeah. I'd say the deer and the turkey have been coming back.
Greg's place is cool, it's diverse.
It's almost like that's what we need.
Yeah, diversity.
Not monoculture. Yeah.
So the diversity has been coming back, and that's what's been building the population, I think.
That's cool.
So the last 2 or 3 years we've had hens, it seems like they're nesting on my property. You'll see two or three of them. In the fall, you'll see like maybe 10 to 15 turkeys might come by. And I guess in the spring they disperse a little bit.
Well, the hens is probably the big deal as to why there's gobblers there.
Yeah.
And that's why you'd see one and then go away. If there wasn't any hens, they wouldn't be there.
Yeah. Yeah, so got some gobblers hanging around, and so me and Michael showed up the day before opening day, and as soon as we got there, saw the big Tom. He was, like, walking across this hay field and put on a show for us for, like, the next 2 or 3 hours. Like, he was strutting, gobbling his head off, going all over the place, and we thought it was a done deal for in the morning.
Oh,
like
y'all texted me and said, "Hey, who wants the phone call in the morning when we kill this turkey?" Yeah. And then it never happened. And Michael, was that the young grasshopper time?
Yeah.
Yeah, Michael's like, "Patience, young grasshopper." And then I didn't get anything the whole day. And then I didn't get anything the next morning, so I just sent a little grasshopper, a Jiminy Cricket gif or something like that.
Yeah, he was a little overconfident. I mean, I was confident, but
is overconfidence something that Michael struggles with?
I don't know.
Is that a
there's
a trait?
There's a few very confident people in the element, for sure. There's a few.
But he was a little overconfident, thought this bird was dead, and I was like, I was confident, but I was like, it might be kind of tough to pull him away from three hens, because he had three hens with him on the roost. And so we set up. We didn't want to set up right on top of him because, like, the footage would be really dark, and we're like, this should be easy. You know, this turkey's gobbling his head off. Mm. And so we pulled back about 200 or 300 yards from the roost tree and set up decoys and called, and he gobbled. I counted it on the video. He gobbled 66 times on the roost before he flew down.
Golly.
And we were just like hyping up. We thought, this bird's dead. And flew down. He had three hens. The hens are yelping. It's a pretty cool sound. And then he just followed the hens right past us. They got to like maybe 90 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And he was putting on a show, and he just walked away.
Mm.
And we kind of kept tabs on for the rest of the day, but then that evening we lost him and couldn't hear him. And
gave you all the slip.
Gave us a slip.
You also heard something else that night, right?
Yeah, was it that night?
I don't know.
I don't remember. Yeah, we heard gunshots or something. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The turkey went
it's
back.
Not what you want to hear.
No.
Back towards my neighbor's property, and all of a sudden we heard like six gunshots, sound like maybe like a 22 or something. We're like, crap.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in Texas, you could.
You thought Brian was on the property next to
you. Yeah, I thought Brian got permission next door.
Dang.
Because, I mean, you never know. I mean, anybody with a hunting license can just, you know, go out there with a 22 or a deer rifle and just.
I don't think it's legal to shoot them with.
No, it's not. It's not legal in the spring. They can do it for sure. They can do it without a license, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not. I don't think it's a shotgun only in
shotgun
spring.
Shotgun or archery in
that's
spring.
That's right. Shotgun and archery. Yeah.
In the fall, you can shoot them with a rifle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but still.
Still,
you know,
people.
Oh, dude.
On the backside of your own property, people do whatever they want to. Usually.
Yeah. That's right, man.
Yeah.
There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store, or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today. You ever get that feeling you're stuck inside staring at screens and a primal urge kicks in? You crave wide open spaces, fresh air, the chance to connect with the land. Well, maybe it's time to find your own piece of the wild, but searching for property can be a maze. That's where Land.com comes in. They got millions of listings across the country, from mountain ranches to hidden fishing holes. Their search tools are like a seasoned guide helping you narrow down what you want. Land.com isn't just about buying and selling. It's about finding a place to hunt, fish, explore, or simply sit by a campfire and listen to the crickets. So head over to Land.com today to turn one day into today, because trust me, there's nothing quite like the feeling of standing on your own piece of earth. Hey everybody, listen up. I got mega huge news. Meat Eater Live is heading back out on the road. That's right, join me and the crew. Clay Newcomb, Cal, Yanni, Spencer's gonna be there. Phil the engineer is gonna be there. Meat Eater Live, headed back out. Now, when you get every ticket, okay, every ticket you buy, you get a signed copy of our new Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook. This tour is celebrating the release of the book. Buy a ticket, get a signed copy, Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook, wild game recipes for the grill, smoker, camp stove, and campfire, which I'll point out is a $38 value. Here's where we're going to go. April 23rd, the Mesa Arts Center in Mesa, Arizona. April 24th, the Balboa Theater in San Diego. April 25th, the Grove in Anaheim, California. April 27th, the Crest Theater in Sacramento. April 29, the Union in Salt Lake City. April 30, the Egyptian in Boise. May 1, the Wilma Theater in Missoula. May 2, the Bing Crosby Theater in Spokane, Washington. May 4, Revolution Hall in Portland, Oregon. And May 5, the last day of the tour, Pantages Theater in Tacoma, Washington. For tickets and more information, visit the events page at themeateater.com. Hope to see you at the show.
So we didn't know if this bird was even alive after the, you know, first day. And the next morning, we couldn't hear him. And me and Michael, we basically gave up. And we were like, let's go get lunch and come back. And if we don't see him, we're leaving. So we go get Panda Express. And we get back to the property. And as we're driving in, we see him at like 40 yards in the hay field just walking across.
Golly.
And we're like, crap. So we leave our panda in the truck.
Hey, that's hard to do.
I know, man.
And we hop out. We grab camera, gun. We make a big loop around. We start calling. He's responding, gobbling.
From the ground?
Yeah.
Man, that's cool.
And so we make a big loop, and he's responding to our calls, but he just, like, stays on his normal path, and he just doesn't break off and come to us. He gobbled his head off for, like, 10 or 15 minutes in one spot, mm-hmm. basically wanting us to come to him.
Mm-hmm. No hens?
He left his hens. This is like noon.
Huh.
So he left his hens, and he was by himself. We thought we had him, but he gave us the slip.
Again. Yeah, that's how it works, I guess.
So he went off, and I don't think we heard him gobble that night either. And I think we drove back home after that. And then there was a couple days later, I decided to go back down and try again. I think it was on a weekend. And I don't think I even saw him that time.
That's weird.
And my mom was saying she heard, like, shotgun blasts right at first light on another neighbor property. And so I, again, didn't know if he was still alive or not. And so I guess this brings us to the third time I go down there to try to kill this turkey. We were working up here, and I was keeping tabs with my mom and dad, seeing if they've seen the turkeys or not. And they said, I heard them gobble like 7:30 right in front of the house. And I was like, okay, that means they're roosting the tree I need them to. And so I left like 8:30, 9 o'clock and drove, you know, all the way down there, got there at like 2 o'clock, and hunted them the next morning. So this is what, Tuesday, Wednesday?
So Wednesday, I am headed down to help somebody else with some turkey hunting. Greg's at his property. So you went down the same night as me, I guess?
Yeah, you left, and then I got the word that turkeys were roosting in front of the house. So I left not too long after you left.
You left late, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was surprised when you texted me.
I was like, I mean, I needed to kill this bird. And I knew there was a pretty good chance in that morning, but so.
Yeah, nothing like a bunch of close encounters or something, but no, like, conclusion to really just make it tough.
Word to the birds. If you give Greg the slip a couple times, you are dead meat. He's going to find a way to get you back.
Yeah, I'll drive through the night.
That's right. I'm Captain Midnight.
I was headed down to help a friend who didn't know much about turkey hunting try to kill a bird on film with some people that she had filming for her. This is Daniel Pruitt, if y'all know who that is. She's a meteor person. And I made it about 7/8 of the way.
Dang, dude.
It's like 6.5 hours where I was headed. I've been on the road about 5 hours and 15 minutes. And my truck's been kind of having a little skip with the transmission. It had been shifting hard.
A little slip.
The old buck truck gave a slip. The buck truck is down, guys. I went down this big old hill, a creek bottom in the hill country, and it just couldn't make the climb up. Like, you know, it was probably in sixth gear. I had it in cruise. Sixth gear on the way down the hill, and it probably tried to jump to fourth to kind of climb back up the hill, and it just, pa-kai, and, you know, pretty, not like explosion pop, but something popped, and then my RPMs just pegged out at 6,000, and I shut it down. And then my truck was in limp mode from there on. And I'm in the middle
of
nowhere.
Not lymph node, though,
not
right?
lymph node, limp mode. It's tough. It's a tough one.
It's different.
Uh-huh. So I, well, I'll just tell y'all where I was at because it's not like a secret of where my truck breaks down. But I was in Hext, Texas. And if you know where Hext is, it's kind of where a farmer market road comes together with a state highway.
It's where that camouflage is, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's it.
That's where the home, yeah. That infomercial, famous, infamous yeah. infomercial.
Not with Hext.
Man, those turkeys wouldn't have a chance.
That, no, they wouldn't. So I drove about an hour and a half at like 25 miles an hour to get to Mason to grab a motel. And then from there, limped it over to Llano to the next day. So I actually stopped about halfway and did some fishing and did a hard reset on the truck. You can pull the battery off and let it sit for an hour. And he'll maybe fix some stuff, just in case. Well, that didn't work. So I fished for a bit, caught some guads. Actually, I might make a reel out of some of this stuff.
Oh, I didn't even know you caught guads. I thought you just were carp fishing the whole time.
No, I caught a bunch of guads. Small, you know. The carp are the big things.
Yeah.
I hooked a gar, which, honestly, spotted gar are some of my favorite things to
catch
on fly.
They're cool, dude.
Yeah. They fight pretty good. They're really cool to watch eat a fly.
You know, if you're listening to this turkey stuff and you like turkey videos, we put a turkey video out a few years back called Hooked. Mm-hmm. And in that, we actually hooked a couple of spotted gar.
Yeah,
maybe
one
for sure
yeah.
that we landed that's real pretty in that turkey hunt video. So there's all kinds of hooks in that video.
Yeah. So anyways, I hooked my battery back up, made it to Llano to the old Chevy dealership there and got my truck all squared away. Well, got to order a transmission from really anywhere in the country now. Just parts are kind of scarce or whatever. So it was, you know, I didn't really expect them to have one there. So got the transmission replaced in the truck. It is currently there getting worked on, but it should be done. And I knew Greg wasn't far from there, like in Texas terms at least. So I was like, hey, man, can you possibly come pick me up tonight after you're done hunting, and I'll help you in the morning, and we'll kill that bird. So Greg rolled up there.
They do Michael style. Kill that bird, man.
That's right, dude.
Ain't no chance if y'all are together.
We're going to kill the thing.
Yeah.
I do some more fishing in Llano, which was fun. Caught a nice carp, hooked a big carp, had him on for a bit. I kind of cheated, though, on that one. So I always keep the fly rod in the truck. I only had a couple flies. I had a Clouser. I had a Crazy Charlie, which is actually a saltwater fly, but it works pretty good on aggressive little fish. And then I had a popper and used them all. Caught fish on them all. Dude, it's so much fun.
But you had an olive woolly bugger, too.
I didn't. Olive Clouser. Yeah. There might have been an olive woolly bugger in my truck somewhere, but I couldn't find it. But anyways, on one of the big carp that I hooked, I may have accidentally been stripping through there and hooked a minnow in the side and just kind of – I didn't touch him, but I left him on there because it's just the natural process of things.
Yeah, I mean –
if he made it on the hook, he made it on the hook.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So you caught that carp on a minnow?
I hooked a big one on a minnow.
Oh.
But I didn't land that fish. That small fish I caught – fair and square on a Clouser.
What weight fly rod were you throwing?
That is a 6 weight, 5'6" glass rod.
What's that carp weigh?
That carp, I guessed him at 2, but he's probably bigger than that.
Yeah.
I've decided I'm going to start underguessing the weight of fish.
When did you decide that?
I decided it a while, like a couple weeks ago.
Okay, I didn't know that was yesterday.
But yesterday.
Oh, one of the greatest things
ever. One of the greatest. And you know what? Let's save it for whenever that person is here.
Okay, well, we got to remember to tell that story.
For sure.
Somebody send us a message on Instagram right now and say, don't forget to tell the story.
Of the 10-pound bass.
Of the 10-pound bass.
caught those, went and got some Mexican food, ate it on the front porch of the feed store because the Mexican food place kicked me out. I showed up with 20 minutes before they closed, and they told me that I had to get to-go orders only. Hmm. I was kind of mad. I left them a one-star review.
Dang, dude.
Dude, don't mess around
dang,
with me.
Dude, just straight up YouTube commenter.
Ready to blow transmissions, give bad reviews, and kill turkeys. So ordered Greg some Mexican food to bribe him to come up here and get me. And he met me there in Leno, and we cruised back down. Got to meet his family. They're real cool. Gets his looks from his mom and his personality from his dad.
How about that?
That's how it works.
That's how it works.
Yeah. You can see, if you know Greg, you know he has like the Johnny Depp look, and he doesn't grow facial hair on his cheeks. It's because he's got a lot of Native American in him. Yeah. Your mom's dark complected. Like, what's you? You're probably a 16th, I guess, huh?
I don't know. Like, not completely sure on our family's genetics, but I believe there's some in there.
Yeah, what's I imagine.
23andMe or something? What's it called? You can do
something like that.
Testing or whatever?
Yeah. But then they got your code.
They got your code, huh? I can just tell you, Siri's already listening, man. Look, I thought she was about to pop up.
Yep.
Yes?
For real. So, Greg, we got us a little sleep that night.
Yeah.
Best night of sleep I had probably in a while.
Yeah.
And then what happened?
Well, luckily, right before, like, as you were texting me to go pick you up, I was on that gobbler. Like,
yeah,
I heard him gobble like 5 o'clock, like really close to me, and thought it was about to happen, but started hearing him work away from me, and he went up to the roost tree. I was hoping he would, and I saw him fly up and had him at the exact tree where he flew up to go roost that night, and so. We knew exactly where he was when I picked you up.
Yeah, you did. So this is a thing I haven't really encountered a whole lot because a lot of times when we go places, I know as much about the place as anybody does. But I've never been on your property, and you know like the back of your hand.
Yeah, and so, we showed up in the dark. So
yeah, I don't know what it looks like here.
You have no idea.
Yeah, we walk in the dark and everything. Yeah. You know, so I'm like, and I don't mind this because I trust you as a hunter, but I'm just trusting you. I'm just, you know, going with whatever. You know, okay, he's up there. Cool.
Yeah. So, like, we wake up early and start walking in the dark and make a big loop to get up pretty close to him. I think we ended up setting up probably 100 yards from where he's roosted.
Yeah. Pretty tight for, in my opinion. I mean, some guys will get real close, but I like that range.
Yeah. Yeah, I was tired of messing around with this bird.
Dadgummit.
Like, I kind of had an idea. If he roosts in that tree, he flies down a certain direction. And I was like, we're going to cut him off and get right in front of him. And so we sneak in there in the dark, and we start setting up the decoys. And that bird gobbles, like, as we're setting up the decoys. And that was spooky.
Yeah. You kind of knew the lay of the land a little bit. And you knew that, like, we could get away with setting decoys where we did, and he'd see them when he flew down, but he couldn't see them from the roost, most likely.
Yeah.
And we had the submissive hen and Jake half-struck combo, and seemed to work pretty good.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking, we might not even need decoys, because I know he kind of flies down this way, but it worked out really well.
We don't want to get in that too. Tell us a story. I don't want to get jump ahead.
Yeah,
too much.
So we set up the decoys. He gobbles like right, you know, 100 yards from us, and so we slid back into the shadows of some cedar trees. And you're set up on one side. I'm set up on the other. We're probably like, I don't know, 10, 15 feet apart. And he's gobbling his head off. I give him like 2 yelping sequences. Like I just. Kind of
spread him out.
Yeah, just spread him out, and he responded to both of them. I was like, okay, I feel like he's coming. And this bird decided to fly down pretty early.
Dude, he might have took off like 30 seconds before shooting light. I mean, it was early,
it
early.
It was early.
Yeah.
We heard wings flapping. We look over, and he's, you know, flying down. I'm we're panic mode at this point.
Oh, yeah. I had the camera in weird settings just getting audio at this point in time. You know, just thinking like, got the GoPro on, like, oh, it's going to get some good angles or whatever, and we'll just play these cool turkey gobbles because he's close and sounds good.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, the bird flies down through the frame.
Like, yeah. it's panic mode. I'm flipping on the GoPro, getting ready, and kind of worried where he flew down, like he might kind of miss us. But then I heard him spit and drum, and I was like, okay, he's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And I could – you probably saw him before I did, and I just saw his fan and blue head working through the mesquites and started working his way down to us. He never gobbled on the ground. But
really?
Mm-mm.
I heard him spit and drum a couple times.
He was – well, you never called when he was on the ground, did
you?
No. He was on a mission as soon as he hit the ground.
Yeah.
I think he saw those decoys on the fly down.
Yeah, and he just lost his mind.
As soon as I could see him the whole time. As soon as he hit the ground, he had a white head straight up looking down that hill.
Yeah.
And I it was still dark enough that he's like 100 yards away. I was like, I think I see that up there. And so I was like, I'm not going to move just in case, you know.
Yeah.
But he had that whole like just goal-oriented as soon as he hit the ground.
Yeah, he was on a mission, and he started coming down the – I guess it was a little trail he was on or something. And he was just strutting the whole way in, and he got to one point, and you're like shoot him, go ahead, shoot him. But, like, I had some limbs in the way that I was waiting for him to clear, and I had a spot picked out. I was like, all right, he's probably in frame right there, and waited till he got there, and I kind of shot him on the move a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, I tried to give him and I wasn't really ready to do it. But I tried to get him to stick his head up.
Yeah.
And he just kind of like barely moved and still.
Looking back, like now I know this is the first time I've ever been in that situation, but I should probably, you know, give him a few yelps and have him stop and stick his head up.
Yeah. If you would have yelped, it would have been good. But I was kind of, as cameraman, in desperation mode because he had about two more steps before he was.
Yeah. You were trying to stop him right where you could get him in frame. And it kind of worked.
Yeah.
There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store, or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today. You ever get that feeling you're stuck inside staring at screens and a primal urge kicks in? You crave wide open spaces, fresh air, the chance to connect with the land. Well, maybe it's time to find your own piece of the wild, but searching for property can be a maze. That's where Land.com comes in. They got millions of listings across the country, from mountain ranches to hidden fishing holes. Their search tools are like a seasoned guide helping you narrow down what you want. Land.com isn't just about buying and selling. It's about finding a place to hunt, fish, explore, or simply sit by a campfire and listen to the crickets. So head over to Land.com today to turn one day into today, because trust me, there's nothing quite like the feeling of standing on your own piece of earth.
We're learning,
pause a little bit,
to film turkeys. It's different than hunting whitetails, that's for sure.
Yeah.
One of the things we've been talking about, and this is insight for y'all who follow what we do, like, we try to get stuff on video. We're not just hunting, right? We love to video our stuff and put it on YouTube, yada, yada. Turkeys, if you don't get the kill shot on film, it's like you don't have anything.
Yeah.
You know, whitetail, if you shoot a big old buck, it's still cool. And turkeys are cool, don't get me wrong, but, like, it's, like, forgivable almost, you know, where turkeys, like, we got to get this thing on film.
Yeah.
You know.
When you pulled up on that bird and started aiming, what was your thoughts?
Yeah, it was pretty dark, and when I pulled the gun up,
But shooting light, yeah, just so people know, it's legal. It's legal, just cloudy. Light.
Yeah, you got to do the disclaimer.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it was a cloudy early morning, and we're tucked up way back in the shadows of these
in
cedar trees.
Yeah.
I still don't believe everybody that says this.
You don't have to believe me. I don't care.
I believe y'all. But, you know, some people do this so that they can make people think that it's actually a shooting light.
That's right.
Yeah, we didn't shoot the turkey off a limb, so.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. When you film your stuff, you kind of got to try to do it by the book, you're going to end up, it's going to catch up with you, you know.
You're in trouble.
Greg has that mag light on the bottom of a shotgun, you know, on the rail.
I
kept it out of the frame, though, you know.
Yeah, I just got one of them Clay Newcomb helmets, man. That's what I used.
Soul Sunspot.
Put the laser beam
Rise
on and everything.
And shine, baby.
Dude, that thing was a hit at the Easter egg hunt the other night.
Oh, I bet.
We had a night Easter egg hunt.
You were the most popular guy there.
Well, my kids were because they used it. They were fighting over it by the end of the night. When I first pulled it out, they were like embarrassed that Dad had this helmet thing with a flashlight on it. By the end of the night, they were like fighting over it.
I bet. So, did you get a shot?
Yeah, I threw the gun up and I was gonna try to shoot him quick, but when I threw the gun up, I couldn't see the bead on the gun. I was like, crap. And so I just like.
Because it was dark or because the bead was weird?
No, it was dark.
Okay.
Like,
y'all are under the cedars or whatever?
You have one of
y'all's guns? Yeah, I've seen one of y'all's guns.
I guess it's Tyler's.
Yeah, the Beretta.
His bead's pretty good.
Yeah.
Like.
Got that small bead.
I don't know. Like, I've shot at the last turkey and, like, you know, 9 o'clock in the morning, and it's, you know, perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we're tucked up in those cedar trees, and I had to, like, kind of do my best guess. I'm like, okay, that's where the bead is. All right, line it up and shoot.
The footage doesn't look like it's that early. I guess where y'all are sitting is just a dark
little
spot.
It's really dark up in there where we're at.
Because I was looking at the footage when y'all were like, it was early. I was like, really? It didn't look that early.
Yeah. I could see the turkey, like, really well. Mm-hmm. But, like, where we were tucked up in the shadows, like, couldn't see.
I'm only at like 4,000 ISO or something. Like, it's
it doesn't look bad at all.
It's not high. Well,
that's why I thought that.
In some senses, it doesn't look bad. So, but it's really dark where we're at. You know how it is up, like, even in the middle of the day up in a cedar thicket, it's pretty dark up in there. Well, you know, we were up in a cedar thicket in the dark morning. Like, and this is where I was talking about how we're learning how to film turkeys. There's some things now, after knowing the lay of your land, that I would probably set up different for video purposes.
Yeah.
If your goal is to kill a turkey, we 100% achieved said goal.
Yeah.
Well, have we revealed that you shot the gun yet?
We have now.
Okay.
Well, now we have.
Okay. Sorry.
So I get a shot at this turkey. I do my best guess of looking down the barrel of this. He's close enough that I'm like, I'm going to hit the turkey. Mm-hmm. Like, he's dead.
How close? Like 20?
I think he's 25.
25 probably. Yeah.
Like,
he feels real close, but looking, like, we went out there to the turkey and looked back, it's like 25 or 30.
Because I shot the last one on public at 39.
Mm-hmm.
And so this felt like way closer than that.
Your pattern was good, too.
Yeah.
I feel like your pattern was about, you know, like, if you just put your arms out, but don't make them real big, like your fingers touch. And that's perfect.
Yeah, I think a couple pellets hit him in the neck, and most of it hit, like, top of the back and just paralyzed him right there.
Yeah, he dropped right there. He was dead in no time, too.
Yeah, he didn't flop hardly at all. Mm-hmm. He was just
you stopped
done.
The flop, dude. Did,
I stopped the flop.
Dadgummit. Didn't have to put the foot on the head or nothing, man. Just, I mean, that's pretty 10th Legion, I think. You don't even have to do nothing to the bird, you know?
Yeah.
I don't do it anyway. If they're flopping, I just let them go for it.
Dude, here's an idea. Let's just go get walloped by a turkey right quick while it's dying.
I got spurred by that one on public.
Dude, I saw a guy one time when we were hunting turkeys in our hotel that was talking to us, and he had reached down with he had mesh gloves on, you know, like the mesh camouflage gloves to hide your hands, and he had reached down to grab his bird, and it started kicking, and he had a huge gash right here in the meat, and he was like, don't reach down and grab your
them
bird.
Things are strong. Like,
I wasn't planning on it if it's flopping around.
A turkey leg is, like, literally designed to just be a catapult.
Dude, it's a daggum, like, bat.
Yeah, guarantee you.
With a hook on the end.
That's it. Well, Greg, congrats on the turkey.
Yeah, man.
It was fun.
A lot of fun. That's the first gobbler ever shot on that property. in the 50 years my family's owned it.
Yeah. You getting a full body mount?
No.
No?
I got the fan and I got the beard.
That's cool.
And the spurs.
And the spurs.
Actually, this turkey has really big spurs.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Like, that's cool.
I think they're like 1 3/8 or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they're hooks. Yeah, like we hooked them on a tree limb and yeah, you like, can hang there.
It wasn't even cool. Like, oh, let's make sure you balance. I mean, he just stays anywhere you stick him.
That's
he's
pretty
big
slick.
Spurs. This is a big bird.
It's fun, dude.
Yeah.
Good memories. Really cool. You know, I saw a full body mount. If you ever need a full body turkey mount, I know a guy, man. I saw one that was good the other day.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty.
If you full body turkeyed, would you just do a standard strut or would you do like a half strut gobble type deal?
I think I like the standard strut. I feel like with the fake neck, the gobble thing looks a little weird sometimes, yeah. You know? But I don't know. There's some cool mounts out there, man.
There
for
are,
sure.
Man. Yeah. Well, that was a lot of fun. I'm ready to do more of it. It'd be real cool if we got to, like, shoot, like, I don't know, 3 or 4 birds each a year. But it's yeah. just not where we live, man. It
yeah.
kind of stinks.
Yeah. I hadn't shot any. I might not even go turkey hunting this year.
Man, I think you are because we got this. We might go do some archery turkey hunting. Who knows? So we got this quest that we've been on, okay?
Quest love.
We like the bows we've been shooting. But we don't like to get tied down to, like, one in particular. The SR350 is a great bow. But we're like, hey, in case people want some options as to what a good, fast, you know, hunting bow is. Not a speed bow, you know, but a good hunting bow. We pretty much shot every fast bow they make at the archery shop the other day and made a video. That's going to come out, I think, tomorrow. If you listen to this on the day it comes out, it's going to come out this week at some point in time. So, it's going to be something to the effect of fastest bows or whatever. You just need to subscribe to the Element YouTube channel. If you haven't, you'll see it. We did a pretty extensive scientific study with the help of On Target Archery, our local bow shop. They did the chrono on everything, and we matched everything up. So, like, it's as scientific as a hunter needs to be. Now, we didn't shoot them at 80 pounds with a 400 grain arrow at a 30-inch draw or whatever. We just shot bows they had. But on a pretty even scale. We compared the apples to the apples, as one would say. So if you like that kind of stuff, it's going to be a really cool video. And we had some pretty surprising and also some, like, very much, like, expected results from that. So go check that out if you haven't, guys. Remember, this time of year can get kind of tough because we're real far from hunting seasons. We're real far from deer. But stuff that you do now can really help you when it comes to the fall. So get your archery stuff in tune. Get out and get in the woods. Carry your kids turkey hunting or whatever it might be. And remember, this is your element.
Live in it.
Hey, everybody, listen up. I got mega huge news. Meat Eater Live is heading back out on the road. That's right. Join me and the crew. Clay Newcomb, Cal, Yanni, Spencer's going to be there. Phil the Engineer is going to be there. Meat Eater Live, headed back out. Now, when you get every ticket, okay, every ticket you buy, you get a signed copy of our new Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook. This tour is celebrating the release of the book. Buy a ticket, get a signed copy, Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook, wild game recipes for the grill, smoker, camp stove, and campfire, which I'll point out is a $38 value. Here's where we're going to go. April 23rd, the Mesa Arts Center in Mesa, Arizona. April 24, the Balboa Theater in San Diego. April 25, the Grove in Anaheim, California. April 27, the Crest Theater in Sacramento. April 29, the Union in Salt Lake City. April 30, the Egyptian in Boise. May 1, the Wilma Theater in Missoula. May 2, the Bing Crosby Theater in Spokane, Washington. May 4, Revolution Hall in Portland, Oregon. And May 5, the last day of the tour, Pantages Theater in Tacoma, Washington. For tickets and more information, visit the events page at themeateater.com. Hope to see you at the show.